Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, like I said, this is the fourth week after Easter, and this Sunday is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus spoke of the shepherd who calls each of his sheep by name and provides safety and security from the thief that would kill and destroy. It certainly is comforting that he has called each of us by name in the waters of our baptism, and that we are safe and secure in him. And this is especially important in light of our epistle lesson this morning. There Peter tells us what it means to be one of Jesus' little lambs. But it seems somewhat out of place with the theme of that good shepherd who cares and nurtures and protects. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. If when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called. It's a gracious thing to endure sorrow and suffering. You know, being told that suffering, pain, and hardship is ours because we are Christians might make us want to ask, what do suffering and grace have to do with one another? I thought Easter living meant there was no more Good Fridays. I came across this cartoon last week. I don't know if you can read it from where you are. I'll read it for you here. But I have to admit I identified more with it than I thought I would. You sure that this is the way to the good life? Oh, yeah. Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. Okay, so what if I wanted just a halfway decent life? Wouldn't it be nice to avoid suffering and still have the good life? Of course it would. And wouldn't it be nice just to avoid suffering, period? I don't know anybody who desires to suffer. But being a disciple of Jesus and experiencing suffering go hand in hand, Peter says. Just because we have Jesus in our life doesn't mean we're not going to experience difficulties of living in a broken world. These past few weeks have certainly shown us that. But Peter wasn't just talking about the suffering that all people experience. In Peter's day, when a person became a Christian, they often did so at the expense of family and friends. Most of Peter's ministry was to fellow Jews, and when a Jew became a follower of Jesus, they were often disowned by their family, cut off from their livelihood, and viewed as enemies by their culture. And as Christianity expanded from the Jewish to the Gentile world, suffering for bearing the name of Jesus didn't stop. One of the earliest and most vivid descriptions of Christian suffering comes from St. Basil, who lived some 300 years after Peter. Around 320 AD, the Roman Empire was undergoing civil war between Licinius in the Eastern Empire and Constantine in the West. Now, Constantine is the Constantine that you're thinking about. Constantine had legalized Christianity in the lands that he controlled. And so Licinius, a non-Christian, decided his army needed to be purged of any Christians because they might have a divided loyalty. So he gave the decree, and soon word came to him that 40 soldiers from the Legio Fulminata, also known as the Thundering Legion, had declared that they were Christians and that they would not pay homage to the Roman gods. This legion had been founded by Julius Caesar some 400 years before, and it was one of the most feared and respected group of soldiers in the Roman army. Licinius was furious at what to him was nothing less than an act of treason, and he sentenced those 40 soldiers to death. And it would not be a quick and merciful one. It was the dead of winter, and they would be stripped naked and made to stand on a frozen pond throughout the night. And this exposure would kill them slowly. But if they were willing to renounce Christ at any time, they could leave the pond and come to the shore and be given shelter, a warm bath, and food. A centurion, many accounts tell us his name was Sempronius, stood guard on the shore to prevent any of these men from trying to escape. And he watched these 40 brothers in arms, who happened to be Christian, stand naked, shivering, and suffering. But they were also singing and crying out to God, "O Lord, 40 wrestlers have come forth to fight for thee. Grant that 40 wrestlers may gain the victory." Because of their faith, these soldiers lost everything, including their lives. But in so doing, they gained an eternal crown of victory. That type of persecution continues even today. Last week, I received an email from Jay Sekulow, who's the chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, which advocates for Christians worldwide. In that email, he stated, "Jihadists are targeting Christians for extinction, and even the global pandemic hasn't stopped the violence and bloodshed. Hundreds of Nigerian Christians have already been murdered by Islamic extremists this year. This month, a Christian pastor and 3 church members, including a 10-year-old boy, were murdered by radical Fulani herdsmen. In Pakistan, Christians face violence, arrest, and severe beatings for their faith. They've had their rights, their land, and even their freedom stolen. Pastors Youssef Nadarkhani in Iran and Pastor John Cao in China remain behind bars as COVID-19 surges through prisons. And Pastor Brian Niren remains wrongfully detained in India as all courts and travel remain shut down due to the pandemic." When Peter says, "For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly, for to this you have been called," when he says that, it forces us to take a real look at life. It doesn't let us fool ourselves into thinking that just because we follow the shepherd, that we'll have a life of ease and safety. In fact, Peter makes the point that because we're Christians, we may face persecution and suffering. And rather than becoming an escape from life's problems by following Christ, we may find ourselves facing even more difficulties. So Peter calls us to look to the good shepherd who also suffered, even though he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. "For you were straying like sheep," Peter says. "And because Jesus was unwilling to see us suffer a fate worse than death, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree." Jesus was the lamb who was carried not safely in the arms of a loving shepherd, but upon the arms of a cross where he paid the price for our sins, suffered the punishment that was ours. "For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." We have returned. We have been called by the good shepherd who now assures us of his constant protection and abiding presence. But that doesn't mean we'll never experience difficulties. Our text says he himself bore his sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live in righteousness. That means we are different people. The night before he died, Jesus said, "If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world hates you." See, this means that living lives dedicated to Christ sometimes brings trouble. Peter's whole letter is written with the understanding that as Christians, we are aliens and strangers in this world. As a baptized child of God, you are different. You are called to live differently than other people who don't know Christ. And Peter goes so far as to say, Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. The word translated example means that we are to trace our lives as a very copy of his. He's saying that we are to walk in his footprints, to follow his path, to love as he loved, to hate sin as he hates sins. And this isn't easy in a world which constantly berates Christians and Christian faith and Christian principles. And the question that Peter forces us to ask is, am I willing? Am I willing to live as God would have me live? To make choices that are pleasing to him, to do this in the face of ridicule? To truly live as a stranger in this world? The late New Testament scholar William Barclay described an ancient Roman coin that pictured an ox standing beneath an altar and a plow with the caption, "Ready for either." The ox had to be ready either for the supreme moment of sacrifice on the altar or the long labor of plow on the farm. That's the Christian life. To be a Christian simply means to follow Christ wherever he may lead, striving to be like him in any situation life may bring. I didn't quite give all the details of that story of the 40 Roman soldiers. 40 wrestlers went out on the ice, and during the night, one of those wrestlers, overcome by exposure, crept quietly toward the fire. In extremity of his suffering, he had renounced the Lord. That centurion, Sempronius, standing by his campfire, could still hear the song of the now one less 40 Christians, faintly but clearly from the darkness. O Lord, 40 wrestlers have come forth to fight for thee. Grant that 40 wrestlers may gain the victory. And as Sempronius looked at the figure drawing close to the fire, he was overcome. The witness of his fellow soldiers following the example of suffering for their Savior, who had suffered for them, struck home, and he threw down his weapons, stripped off his armor, removed his clothing, and singing with the others, took the place of the one who had left. O Lord, 40 wrestlers have come forth to fight for thee. Grant that 40 wrestlers may gain the victory. You know, as we walk through this world, our suffering may not make sense. Our witness may seem to fall on deaf ears. Our choices in a strange and rapidly changing culture may seem small and insignificant. But who are we to judge? We have simply been called to be faithful. We've been called to follow the voice of our shepherd, who promises to guide us through this dark place to the safety of our heavenly home. If he lets us see how this benefits the kingdom of God, well, we're doubly blessed. But whether we see this or not, let us remain faithful. Let us live for Christ, wrestling with this world, and finally receive the victor's crown that's ours in Christ. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the parish prayers. In our prayers this morning, and I would invite you to remember this week, we remember Karen Southard and the rest of the family of her Uncle Ray, especially his wife, Marilyn. Ray had a stroke while receiving dialysis and passed away Wednesday evening. Marietta Fredrickson is struggling with shingles, has been for the last 2 weeks. We also remember Riley Hubach's friend, Carlos, and Carlos's father, who lives in Boston, is hospitalized with COVID-19. Please pray for both Carlos and his father. And Steve Pratt, a very close friend of Jim Lindblom's, who had tested positive for COVID-19, was ill for over a month, has now returned home. And he's recovering well from that. And we also praise God for the healing that he is accomplishing for Paula Rowe. She, too, has returned home and recovering. Let us pray. Our good shepherd Jesus invites us to come to our Father in his name, and so we are bold to do so. Blessed shepherd, you promise to be with us wherever two or three are gathered. But it is such a blessing to come together and be encouraged and strengthened as your family of faith. Sadly, not everyone can do this, not only because of this pandemic, but because their very lives are threatened simply because they love you. Help us to pray for your church everywhere, especially those who are persecuted and who must endure sufferings which we can only imagine. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty shepherd, you hold in your hands all the might of man, and you hold accountable those who would govern your people. Grant us good government and good leaders who will honor your purposes and protect your people. Help them to put aside partisanship and personal desires for gain, and give them wisdom and moderation in their response to this pandemic. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, merciful Shepherd, through your wounds you brought us the greatest healing, and now your voice calls us to you in our time of need. We praise you for the healing that you are performing for Steve and Paula, and for bringing Paula and Chuck back together. For all who remain ill, grant them healing according to your will and grace to sustain them in the day of trouble. We pray especially for Marietta, Carlos and his father, those we've listed before you in our bulletin, and those we hold near in our hearts. Be with Ray's family, especially his wife Marilyn, and all others who grieve the death of loved ones. Be their strength, consolation, and great hope. Lord, in your mercy. Giving shepherd, you have not withheld anything from us, but emptied yourself fully upon the cross that we might be saved. Move our hearts to such devotion and teach us such generosity that we may bring to you the tithes and offerings of a grateful heart. Take into your care all who are unemployed and distraught. Open doors for gainful employment. Calm their hearts as they await this blessing, and use us to serve our neighbor in need with the resources you have supplied to us so abundantly. Lord, in your mercy. Good shepherd, you set your table among us again today, that we might receive the gift of forgiveness and the wonderful blessing of your supper of grace. As we come to you, may we hear your voice assure us that our sins are forgiven, and we are now free to live lives which bring glory to you and bless our neighbor. Lord, in your mercy. Loving shepherd, be with our brothers and sisters, Julie, Larry and Marietta, and Jim and Mary. Be their strength and hope until that day you come again in your glory to bring to fulfillment all things, once and forevermore. Use them as powerful witnesses of Easter joy. Increase their love for you and empower them to be powerful witnesses to those you bring into their lives this week. Lord, in your mercy. O great shepherd, you know what we need and you have promised to never abandon us. Help us to endure all suffering in faith and with a joyful spirit receive the blessings of your grace. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.